With Pesach approaching, I wanted to speak to you about Kimcha de Pischa, otherwise known as Moos Chitin. How do you know it? As Kimcha de Pischa or Moos Chitin? Both. They're synonymous terms. And we annually collect money for the poor people for Pesach, in advance of Pesach. And what I wanted to study with you are the sources for this tradition. And how strong is it? How obligatory is it? And a couple of the questions that I want to ask you are the following. Number one, is it a minug or is it a chiyuv? Is it just a custom or it's an absolute requirement? Question number two, why do we find this only with regard to the Chag of Pesach? We don't find before Sukkot or Shavuos, Kimcha the Sukkot, Kimcha the Shavuos. One could argue that Shavuos doesn't cost that much money to buy blintzes. But in the case of Sukkot, you know, there's quite an outlay for the Dalad Minim and for the Sukkah and the Schach. The next question I want to ask you is there a way of forcing a person to give Moos Chitin? If he refuses to give so, does the community have the responsibility and the authority to compel a person, which is called Kfiya, as it does with regard to other mitzvahs, this mitzvah? The next question I want to ask you is, are you allowed to take from your Meiser money and give it for Moos Chitin? Meaning, essentially, is it a mitzvah of tzedakah, and if I can take from my Meiser money? Or is it a separate mitzvah, like any other mitzvah, which I cannot take from my Meiser money? Meiser money has to be given for tzedakah, but this mitzvah is essentially a mitzvah of tzedakah, and therefore I should be able to take from my Meiser money. And the last question I wanted to raise with you is, what about Torah scholars? What about Talmidei Chachamim? Because we find with regard to certain taxes and other collections that they exempt Talmidei Chachamim because they have to be dedicated to the study of Torah. They don't have the ability to make a regular salary. What about Moos Chitin? Is Moos Chitin obligatory upon everyone without exception, including a Torah scholar? So the first thing we want to study is the source. Where does it come from? Now, on the Torah Shulchan Aruch, there's a super commentary called the Darchei Moshe. And you'll see that quoted in the third paragraph on your page, right where it says, Minog Moos Chitin. And indeed, the Darchei Moshe, that's the same author as the Ramah, Rav Moshe Isserles, in Siman Tov Chaf Tes, that's 429, that all of our learning today will be focused on that. He quotes the Arzarua. Now keep in mind that the Arzarua was an Ashkenazic Rishon. So we're really going back 1,000 years in time. And the Arzarua is quoted by the Ramah as saying that Minog HaKehilos, it's a minog of the congregations, Lahasim Mas, please underline that word Mas. Mas means a tax. Now generally speaking, which is more compelling? A mas, a tax, or a minug?
A what?
A minug, a custom, or a tax, or a mas?
I say a tax.
Yeah, a tax is more compelling. Why do you think so?
What is compelling? Compelling with
more
kachiyuv. Well, a minug, like that will last, you know, that, you know, can't be canceled. That, like, has, like, a certain law unto itself. But if it's a tax, you say that was a particular time and a particular place. We have different taxes.
Right. So in a certain sense, a tax is more severe and more harsh and compelling than just a minug. A minug might be, you know, okay, we have the minug, we don't have the minug, I want to apply, implement the minug, I don't. A tax, for example, you take a look at the next few words in the Arzarua, after he establishes that it's a mas, that it's a tax, to give for chitim, for the wheat for matzah, and he says, "Litein Pesach la niyeh ha'ir." Emphasize the word "ir" because all taxes are levied by the city. You know, we're not talking about federal taxes or state taxes. We're talking about municipal taxes. The Ramah codifies this arzarua in Shulchan Aruch Tav Chaf Tes, and he writes, "Minog liknos chitin lechalkon la niyeh litzarach ha'pesach." Notice two things about the Ramah. Number one, he calls it a minog. He leaves out the word mas. Number two, he writes to buy chitim. It's not monetary. It's not just write a check. and we'll use the money to give out to the aniyim and let them buy the chitin. We're going to actually give them chitin. That's what it seems to be according to the Ramah. Hmm. But more important is that the Or Zeruah tells us that the source for most chitin, for kimcha de pischa, dates back way before 1,000 years. It's actually codified by the Yerushalmi, which is probably about 16, 17 centuries ago. That's already Chazal. And where is the Yerushalmi? It's in Bava Basra. And that's important for us because all the taxes that are levied upon the city citizens, the city dwellers, are all in Bava Basra. For example, we collect a tax from the members of the city to pay for the security of the city. We collect a tax to pay for the irrigation if we need water in the city. All those are codified in the sugya in Bava Basra, which, by the way, is a sugya I taught not long ago in Lander College, if you know about that institution in Kew Garden Hills. And that sugya in Bava Basra has a Yerushalmi which says, Amar Rabbi Yossi Barbun, Lechita de Pischa Shneimasar Chodesh. Who can tell me what that means? Shneimasar Chodesh. Any guess?
You can give it a year round.
Well, it is an annual connection, but the collection. But that's not what the Yerushalmi has in mind.
How long have you been in the city for?
Exactly. How long have you been living in town?
Hmm.
And I don't know if there are any benefits or responsibilities of being part of a company. I don't know if they charge you for anything or they give you certain rewards, bonuses. Okay, but if any extra bonuses, I would assume, Jonathan, that they did that from day one or at least the end of the first month that you worked here. But there may be certain special bonuses that a company will give out as you have what's called in Hebrew vetek. You know, you stick around in a company and they respect the fact that you've been here for a year or two, right? And they give you special gifts, like sometimes the company will give you a gift on the first year of the year, and then they forget about it on the second year. You know, they may give you Mishloach Manos after a year of teaching, but not in the second year. But that's okay too. In effect, basically, when do you become a full-fledged citizen of a city for all the laws of taxes? How long do you have to live in a city? 12 months, exactly. Now, there are exceptions to that rule. Sometimes, if you move into a city with full intention to live in the city, then we only wait 30 days. And after 30 days, you're considered a member of the city. And you get certain benefits, and you pay certain taxes. Sometimes, the halacha requires that as soon as you move into the city, if you're moving there with the intention of remaining there permanently, you become a ben ir, and therefore you have to pay the taxes. In this case, the Yerushalmi establishes that once you live in the city for a full year, then you pay taxes, and you pay for the tax called Chita de Pischa, or Kimcha de Pischa, but then it says Bein Lisa, Bein Losses. What does Lisa mean? No, I'm not talking about Lisa. Forget about her. What does Lisa mean? Lisa means to receive. In other words, let's say a poor person lives in the city and he wants to collect from the taxes that were designated for Kimcha de Pischa. When does he have rights to collect that money? He too has to live in the city for how long? For 12 months. But the bottom line is, my friends, from the Yerushalmi, which is quoted by the Or Zeruah, what impression do you get about Kimcha de Pischa? Is it absolutely obligatory once you're there for 12 months? Is it a tax? Or is it a minhag? Is it just something that, you know, if you want to do it, you do it. If you don't want to do it, you don't.
It sounds like a tax,
correct? And look at the beginning of the Or Zeruah. Very strange. The Or Zeruah, as quoted by the Ramah, says, minhag haki'ilos. Okay. And then he says, lahasim mas. It's like dover vipucho. You know, just like the Gemara in Bava Kamma says, posach b'kad v'siyim v'sof v'chavis. You know, you start with one thing. He starts with a minhag, and then he goes on to say it's a mas. He quotes, the Or Zeruah quotes as the source of the Yerushalmi, which means that this minhag is certainly an ancient minhag that goes back to the time of Chazal. But not only that, the Yerushalmi itself doesn't mention the word minhag. The Yerushalmi calls it a mas, calls it a tax.
Maybe
for
Mass is like a nature of the minhag. If it's like Mass can also mean what's the chiyuv mamoni?
Correct, but if it's a chiyuv mamoni, then the law of kfiyah applies, which means that if shalich fotalav, we can actually compel him and maybe even collect from his bank account if he refuses to pay the mass. There's no such thing as not paying taxes. Maybe in certain countries you can get away with it. But in Chazal, a tax is absolute. On the other hand, you call something a minug, we don't find that with regard to a minug, there's a law of kfiyah that we can force you to fulfill and implement a minug. So I'm very, very perplexed by this. And if you take a look in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, he writes, Minog Pashid B'chol Yisrael, it's an absolute minog in all of Israel, Shekol Kahal Kahal Mesimim Mas Al B'nei Iron L'tzorech Chitin V'Pesach. In other words, it begins as a minog, but then it evolves into a mas. Because if you look in the bottom paragraph on page 1, you'll see a sefer called Beis David. Or I guess in back in Greece, where it was written in Salonika, it would call the Beit David. You know, it was written by a Sephardi by the name of Rabbi Yosef David Shabtai. And he writes that there's a stira, there's an absolute contradiction here between the Ramah, who quotes this halacha of Kimcha de Pischa as a minhag, and Yushalmi, which is the source of the Ramah, that doesn't mention the word minhag, but mentions it as a chiyuv with a law of a mas, which means kofin es b'nei ha'ir l'shalim es hamas. It's not just a simple minhag. The Yushalmi establishes it as a mas, which means absolutely compelling, and therefore the law of kfiyah would apply. So the Beit David says, I don't know how to reconcile the Ramah who calls this a minhag with the original source of the Yushalmi that calls it a mas. Is that question clear? So if you take a look at page 2, the obvious solution or resolution or to resolve this conflict is to say there's no contradiction at all. It originated as a minhag, but then it later evolved into a chova, as an obligation. It took on the status of a mas. And maybe since it originated as a minhag, it was left to every single community to decide for itself, would it adopt this minhag and implement a chiyuv and upgrade it to the status of a chiyuv and therefore make it compelling, so if a member of the city refuses to pay, we can force him to pay. And I think if we go back to the language of the Arzarua, this is really clear, because the Arzarua calls it a minhag, right? Minhag bekehilos Yisrael, and then he says lahasim mas, which indicates that's a chova. So I think the only way of reading this Arzarua, making it logical or intelligible, is by saying that this originated as a minhag, but eventually it was accepted as a mas. Now, let's ask the following question. Did the Mishnah Brura accept this reconciliation, or did he not? If you take a look at the fourth paragraph on page 2, do you see the paragraph that starts with Mishnah Brura? Would you happen to have that? He says the following. La'niyuz daiti ef shalom et bin adin hayayotze b'mitzvah tzedakah. He says that as far as the chova is concerned, the strict obligation as a mas, you fulfill your obligation by writing a check, by giving money. However, as far as the minig is concerned, the minig evolved and changed what we call a chiv to pay mamon or a currency, and it became a chiv to give chitin, to actually collect wheat from the people. He says, Haminog lechalek chitin, and that's called mekarev hanaoso. Meaning, if I give a person a check, he's got to take that check, and then he's got to buy something with it. It's a step-by-step process. I can cut down that process and shorten it by giving him the object, the physical object, instead of his having to go buy it. He just takes the chitin and He grinds them, makes them into flour, adds water, kneads the flour, kneads the water and the flour together, makes a dough, and then puts it in the oven and bakes. What do we give today? Does anybody know? Do we give a check? Do we give wheat? Do we give flour? What do we give? We give matzah. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Today, the mitzvah of Kimcha de Pischa in most communities is to give out matzah. I don't know if you've ever seen this. You've never seen it. Okay. So look, maybe your minig is to give a check. That's fine. If you give matzah, then you've really shortened the whole process for the Ani that he has matzah for the Seder. Matzah today is very expensive. Shmura matzah, and then there's something called shmura matzah mishas ktsira. And then you get the round matzahs, you know what I'm talking about? I'm not talking about shmur matzah that's machine baked. That's expensive enough.
Do you need to give him a matzah that's according to the Ani's chumras, or can you give him, like, if you count on something and you're fine with it, and he wants something more expensive, then...
I would say the following, that if that's your minhag to eat those matzahs, you know, he can't demand from you that you give him more than what your minhag is, you know. However, on the other hand, if he has chumras and you want to live up to his chumra, that's great. Yeah. You know, that's
celiac. Oh my God! Right.
Yeah, if he only eats gluten-free matzahs, you know. Yeah. Next Shabbos, I have my annual Shabbos Hagadol Drasha. So I divide it up into halacha and I got it. So for the halachic part, I want to talk about gluten-free matzahs. You know, in any event, so we have now two different ways of reconciling the Yerushalmi with the Rabban. One way is to say that it began with a minug and it evolved into a mas, into a tax, a chiyuv. The other way is to say that it began with a minug of giving money and then it evolved, or a mas to give money, and then it evolved to giving actual chitim. That seems to be the approach of the Mishnah Berurah. Now, oddly enough, and this is a bit paradoxical, if you call something like Kimcha de Pischa a mas, there's a certain kula, a certain leniency, le'umat, in contrast to calling it a minug. We always said that a minug is less imposing or less compelling than a mas, but in one sense, the mas is really more lenient than a minhag. And that is that the Gemara establishes in that same Sugya Bava Basra that misim, those taxes, are not imposed on Torah scholars. So if in the original formulation it was a minhag and then it turned and evolved into a mas, it could be that that gap between the minhag and the mas will not cover the Talmud Chacham. Talmud Chacham gets left out. He remains in the original formulation as a minug, but once it is upgraded, if you say, to a level of a mas that's compelling, then the halacha is that Talmidei Chachamim are pturim min amas. They don't have to pay misa.
They still have the minug.
But they still have the minug, exactly. So that I thought would be very interesting. Now, if you take a look at the next section, that's called Mas Otsdaka, there's another conflict in the poskim, a seemingly contradiction, because the poskim say that mos chitin is a mas, and that you'll find in the Rav Shulchan Aruch. He writes kol kahalu kal mesimim mas al bnei Iran, and we saw that already in the Arzarua based on the Yerushalmi. But on the other hand, the same author, the Shulchan Aruch Rav, that's the Alter Rebbe, the first Rebbe of Chabad, he writes, "Ve'afilu talmidei chachamim hapturim min amas nosnim chelkom." Wait a minute. If you, the Rav Shulchan Aruch, classify Mos Chitin, Kimcha de Pischa, as a mas, why do you then go ahead and tell us that even talmidei chachamim, who are exempt from misim, nevertheless have to give their share and pay for Mos Chitin? But the truth is that if you read carefully the next four words in the Aruch HaShul, in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, he answers this question. He says, "Lefishet staka hizu." This is not a classical mas. This is not a payment of a tax for the security of the city, and we can say Talmidei Chachamim don't need security because Einam Tzrichim Shmira, that's a sugi bar basra. We're talking about staka. The mitzvah of staka is universally incumbent upon everyone, including a Talmud Chacham. So although the Rav Shulchan Aruch uses the term mas, this is misleading in a certain sense. We shouldn't be confused. He's not using the word mas to indicate a classical mas, but it's a mas to give tzedakah. And if so, even Talmidei Chachamim are included in this. Now, if you go back to Turkey, anybody know what the capital of Turkey is?
Istanbul,
but you know what it was called back in the day? Istanbul?
Constantinople.
Right, Constantinople. So in the language of Chazal, it's called Kushta. Okay? Kushta is the same as Constantinople, which is the same today as Istanbul. And the Chachamim in Kushta are quoted in a sefer, I happen to be a proud owner of this sefer, called the Knesset HaGdola, the Shiori Knesset HaGdola. And he writes, Afilu Talmidei Chachamim Nosnim Chelkom, that even the Talmidei Chachamim have to give it. So that sounds like it's a mitzvah rooted in Staka. My friends, what's going to be the nafkamina, the two differences between calling Mos Chitin a Mas or calling it Staka? First nafkamina is whether or not we can impose it even on Talmidei Chachamim. If it's a Mas, then Talmidei Chachamim are exempt from Mas. If it's Staka, Talmidei Chachamim have to pay Stuck like any other Jew. What's the second afkavina? Can you take it from? From your Meiser money. If it's a mas, that's a separate independent obligation, then you're not allowed to take it from the Meiser money. But if it's stuck essentially, then you can take it off from your Meiser money. Now how do we paskin in this very thorny issue? So the Mishnah Brura quotes the Prima Gadin. If you see that in the paragraph that starts Me'idach, the Prima Gadim writes that it's very possible that in Constantinople, in Kushta, and only in Kushta, they established it as a tztaka, as a chiv tztaka. But b'shar mekomos, it's considered a mas. And therefore, Talmidei Chachamim are exempt. And this may sound like a cooler to you that Talmidei Chachamim don't have to chip in for most chitin, but the truth is it's a great chumra because it really implies that it's a separate independent chiyuv as a mas and it cannot be subtracted from my tztaka money. It's not really tztaka. So if you take the Prima Gadim to its logical conclusion, what you have here, a very interesting structure, that every kihilah has to decide for itself what the nature of Mos Chitin is. In Kushta, for example, they made the decision based on the authority of the Chachamim in Kushta that they would establish it as a mas. Therefore, it's compelling, which means kfiya. Therefore, Talmidei Chachamim are exempt, and therefore cannot be deducted from Meiser Ksafim. On the other hand, other communities never accepted it as a mas. As we said earlier, it was a minog that evolved and became a mas. They accepted it as a minog, and they never transformed it or upgraded it to the status of a mas. The mele, the minog remains tztaka, which means that if the minog is compelling in, let's say, the city of Yerushalayim, every last Jew is compelled by minog, by virtue of this minog, to give Mos Chitin Kimcha de Pischa, even if he's a Talmud Chacham, it's not a mas. But on the other hand, it's essentially a mitzvah of tzedaka, and therefore, in Yerushalayim, we have the right to take off our share of Mos Chitin from our calculation of Meiser Ksafim. And therefore he writes that we can answer the original question that we started with, why is it that of all holidays, Pesach is singled out for this chiyuv tztaka of Meiser, of what? Of Mos Chitin. He says the answer is that we have a mitzvah of tztaka the whole year round. But what's unique about Chag HaPesach? This is the paragraph that begins, L'chein Nireh. And he quotes the Beis HaLevi, the Rav of Brisk, who says that, you know what? This holiday is unique. It's called Chag HaChirut. It's the holiday of freedom. We commemorate freedom on this day. We were liberated from our slavery. What does it mean if a Jew sits down at his Seder table and he commemorates liberation from slavery by eating his matzah, his beautiful matzah, when his fellow Jew living down the block, unfortunately in some sort of little structure, a little hut, can't even afford matzah? The Chiyuv Cherus of Chag HaCherus is incumbent not just me, myself, and I as an individual, as a yachid, but I have a relationship to the entire tzibur, in this case the entire city, and I have to be sure and guarantee that every Jew goes out lecherus, is liberated, is able to sell, to buy matzah and celebrate this holiday of Chag HaCherus.
Because the cherus is the cherus of the am, it's not correct. Not dafka cherus.
Beautiful.
Maybe not only a cherus of every individual.
But we go out as a people.
Not, if the am is not...
And basically it's the first stage of Matan Torah. And what does it say by Matan Torah? Who remembers the famous word? Vayichan. Remember Vayichan? And why is it written in singular? It says, Ke'ish echad b'lev echad. We're really one body, and therefore as one indivisible entity, we have to worry about the liberation, the cheres, and the celebration thereof of every single Jew, including the aniyim, and therefore it is a minug of tztaka, but a unique tztaka that's singularly related to Chag HaPesach, and therefore no one could say I'm exempt from this mitzvah of tztaka. We can take the mitzvah, the tztaka money from our schita, from our tztaka Meiser money. However, even the Talmidei Chachamim will be obligated because it is a mitzvah of tzedakah.
So it's a minhag of your city, whether you hold it's a minhag or a mas?
Correct. In the case of Kushta, they decided that they want to upgrade it to the status of what? Let's go back and read it again in the name of the Shiori Knesset HaGdola. They wanted to upgrade it to the level of Tztaka, correct? And what did they gain by that? That afilu talmidei chachamim nosnim chelkam. But the Prima Gadim says that that was the takon established in Kushta Bilvad. In other places, it's only a mas, and therefore talmidei chachamim are potter. But now, if we take the line of reasoning of Kushta, that it becomes a minig because it's essentially tztaka, then anywhere on the face of the earth, any community that accepts and follows, how should I say, the paradigm of Kushta and creates out of this mass a minog of tztaka and a unique tztaka that's related to Chag HaCherus, now even the Talmidei Chachamim are obligated. But that's the chumrah. The kula is that you can separate from your meiser money. And here I want to share with you an insight of the Gaon Mivilna. The Vilna Gaon says that on the pasuk of Matos, it doesn't say Shivas Yom Matzos Tochal, but the Mesorah is to put a Tzereh under the Tav and a Tzereh under the Aleph, which means it's Te Ochel. A comment under the Aleph, I should say. What's the difference between Tochal and Te Ochel? Between the active and the causative. In Hebrew grammar, tochal means that I have an obligation to eat the matzah. Strange, the Torah says te'ochel, I have to see to it that the matzah is eaten. In the causative sense, says the Gaon, this is the source of the Torah for most chitim. It's not enough that I eat matzah. It doesn't say tochal matzahs. But matzos te'ochel means I have to guarantee, I have to cause that you eat the matzah. And if you are a poor person and you can't afford the matzah, I haven't fulfilled my obligation of matzah until such time that I can guarantee that you eat the matzah. Israel Bosai, what's the first paragraph in the Haggadah Shel Pesach? I'll give you a hint, it's in Aramaic. No, the Kiddush. The Kiddush. Kolach Ma'anya. And what do we do in Olach Ma'anya? After we point to the matzah, we say it's Lechem Oni, which means the bread of poverty. Then what do we do?
Oh,
We invite everyone. Kol dichvin yesei v'yechal. Anyone who's in need, kol dichvin yesei v'yifsach, is invited. Why don't we do that when we go into the sukkah on the first night of Sukkot? The answer is, the Gaon says, matzos te'ochel. You cannot fulfill your mitzvah of lechem oni until you guarantee that the aniyim will be able to partake in the mitzvah, in the mitzvah of matzah. So if you're on the bottom of your page 2, he doesn't quote this Gaon, I don't know why, but he writes that the minog me'uchar u'mechudash, he says the more contemporary minog is the following, that we interpret the Yerushalmi as saying that although the Yerushalmi calls it a mas, it can be evolved from a mas to the level of tzedakah. And although a mas is compulsory and can be collected by any member of the city, at the same time, we're going to convert and transform this mas into tzedakah, such that even the Talmidei Chachamim have to pay, and the tzedakah is unique to Chag HaPesach. And now we move on to page 3. He writes on the top of page 3 that Takonos Mos Chitin expands Marchiva Tasiyu Anita Laniyim. The rest of the year it's enough to give the Aniyim tzedakah. But on this holiday, we're going to expand it. We're going to make a Takonos Mos Chitin that's going to guarantee that the Aniyim will be able to purchase matzah, and for that matter, to cover those great expenses of matzah. And if that be the case, my friends, you're giving a lot more than you normally might give. Because it could be that within the context of tzedakah, you know, you give the ani enough to put bread on the table, food on the table, but not so much to buy matzah. And maybe, you know, if the ani says that the cheapest matzah you can get is costing him, I don't know, 100 shekel or twice that amount per kilo, that's what we have to guarantee, that he should have that money for the matzah. Aaron?
So,
speak a drop loud, if you know.
You have to make sure that the money that you're giving is actually
earmarked
to matzah?
Well, that's not your issue. Again, in certain places, we collect money and we buy matzah with it, and we distribute matzah.
But that matzah has to be eaten also then. Like I said, not only that it has to be bought matzah.
Well, we have to check out the ani and make sure that he needs this matzah. You know, if he's a rich guy and he's coming to collect matzah from you, you know. I remember when I was in Queens College, that's where I went to undergraduate school. So the Chabadnikim came around, they offered me a matzah. I said, thanks, but no thanks. I have my own matzah. So if somebody, you know, wants to gain, you know, it was a very expensive, you know, hand shmur around matzah. Somebody wants to gain, you know, save a couple of bucks by getting that. That's not the mitzvah of Mos Chitin. The mitzvah of Mos Chitin is that if this ani will not have Mos, he will not be able to buy matzah. That's what you want to give him.
Mm.
And he quotes the Mishnah Berurah here on the next paragraph, and he says, "Lama nitknu Mos Chitin dafka l'chag haPesach?" And he has a different answer to this question. We said it was because it was Chag HaCherus. He says, "Why don't we find a similar parallel takana in other Moadim?" And he writes in that second paragraph, "Efshar." He thinks it's possible. I want you to look inside to see. This is Kedai to see inside. On the second major paragraph on page 3, he says, Mishum ze tiknu kad monenu v'pesach yosef mishar regolim shuzman cheris yoshev v'subim kol echad hu beso berov simcha ein ze kavod Hashem. Okay, underline those words. The Mishnah Berurah is introducing a whole other element here, and that is kavod Hashem. What's kavod Hashem? The aniyim are hungry, they're thirsty. That's not kavod Hashem. And therefore we give him kemach for Pesach so that he can sit around and be mesaper b'yitzias Mitzrayim b'simcha. Wow. This is a whole other element. You know, we said that it's a Chag HaCherus and the Cherus is collective, it's national. We have to guarantee that everyone experiences Cherus, even the aniyim. But he's saying, the Mishnah Berurah, a different take. He's saying that we have to expand the Kvod Hashem. That means that I have to guarantee the mitzvah of Sipi Yitzis Mitzrayim to glorify Hashem on the part of everyone. I have to expand that Sipur, I have to expand the glory of Hashem, the Kvod Shamayim. You know, is he saying it's something to do with the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzis Mitzrayim, not the mitzvah of matzah, as we said before, that the matzah is teochel, I have to guarantee, but rather it's a mitzvah of Sipur. And the Sipur has to be done b'simcha. And I just read recently the Pachad Yitzchak. You can't hear it yet, but it's. I'll take care of it later on. The Pachad Yitzchak of Rav Hudna says that essentially Sipur Yitzis Mitzrayim is emunah, is faith. That is the prerequisite for all Italian mitzvahs. The introduction and the basis for all Italian mitzvahs is the emunah of Sipur Yitzis Mitzrayim. And therefore, if I can facilitate the Ani's reciting the Haggadah and fulfilling the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzis Mitzrayim, that's a great expansion of emunah. Emunah means we define ourselves as Avdei Hashem, we are servants of Hashem, and therefore the Kvod Shamayim is expanded. But the Mishnah Berurah doesn't stop here. He says, V'od tam poshut, dechameitz eino rashoi lechol, u'matzah ein motzui kol kach lahasig liknot. It's very difficult for the Ani to survive Pesach. Why? He can't eat chametz. He can only eat matzah. And it's very difficult for him to purchase matzah. Therefore, im lo yachinu lo al kol yimei ha-Pesach, if they don't guarantee that he has enough matzah to last him for the entire chag of Pesach, efshar, it's possible she yisha'er re'ev. In other words, the expenses of Pesach are such, and add to that the Yisur chametz, that the Ani is in terrible straits. He may not be able to survive Pesach. Therefore, you have to guarantee him that he has enough matzah for all the 7 days. It's interesting that today, I think in our time, the mitzvah of Kimcha de Pischa has expanded well beyond matzah. We purchase for the Ani all sorts of needs.
Like
you know,
like you get him also like
Dali Kosos. We give him a whole basket full. I know that if you've heard of Yad Eliezer, so they have a special collection for Pesach to give out an entire basket of food, of different types of staples, so that the Aniyim will have not just matzah for the table, but all their needs. And here he points out that there's a difference between the two reasons of the Mishnah Berurah. He says, according to the first explanation of the Mishnah Berurah, there's something unique about Chag HaPesach as the Chag of Kvod Shamayim that engenders the mitzvah of Mos Chitin. According to the second reason, it really has to do with the Isur Chametz more than anything else. That the Aniyim will not be able to supply themselves with what they need for the table because of the Isur Chametz. So I wanted to continue here with this paragraph that starts in the Sina Me'evr L'matan Stoka. And he quotes the halacha in Shulchan Aruch Yerideya Simon Reish Nun Gimel that an Ani who has Mazon Yud Dalet Sudos, he has enough money to buy 14 Sudos, then he's not allowed to collect from Stoka. In other places in Pei it says Masayim Zuz. And in the Chidushim of the Makar Chaim, he writes that with regard to Mos Chitim, the law is not like that. But rather, an Ani is permitted to receive Mos Chitim even though he has enough money to buy 14 Sudos. And this is brought down in the Bir Aloch, the Mishnah Berurah, it's quoted in the Kaf HaChaim. In other words, it really seems clear that the takana of Mos Chitin is a much more expanded takana than the normal regulations that apply to Hilchas Tzedaka. So it means that on the one hand, the mitzvah of Mos Chitin is rooted, is anchored in the laws of Tzedaka, and therefore it's obligatory upon every Jew. But on the other hand, it goes even beyond the normal laws of Tzedaka. And even someone who would normally not qualify to receive tzedakah qualifies to receive Mos Chitin. And this again reflects the special nature of this mitzvah, reflecting Pesach and the Isur Chametz and the Chag HaCheirus, and the fact that it started as a mas and then expanded to a minog, that expansion of the minog is to include aniyim who normally would not qualify as aniyim. And once again, if we go back to the Mishnah Berurah's first explanation of the takon of maos chitin, to give the ani the feeling that he can participate in the seder, he can recite the sipur besimcha, he's part of the whole cheres experience, as we saw earlier in the Beis HaLevi, is then even though, you know, we've already guaranteed that he has the basic, you know, economic assets to cover his parnasa, but nevertheless, we want to go beyond that. We want the ani to feel a sense of cheres, which means that he has a revach. You know, he's not just counting every single penny that he has, but he has a revach. He has even more than this. So let's just summarize a few of the points that we made here. The custom, the minhag of maos chitin broadens the normal bounds of tzedakah, and it's very possible that this minhag of imposing a mas was established because of this extension, you know, to ensure that the aniyim will receive the extended assistance, which is more than just mazon yudbei sudos, but rather includes the needs that would make it possible and facilitate that this ani would be able to experience the Chag HaCheirus in the most glorious and happiest way. Therefore, when we discuss the issue of Maos Chitin and whether or not it can be used, it can be, shall I say, siphoned off of Miser money, of Maos Miser, if the Minog is the essence of this takana, meaning it started as a minig and then it evolved to a mas, it would make sense to say that the minig itself defines the nature of this giving, of this contribution as tztaka, and we've seen this over and over again, and therefore you could use your maiser ksofim to contribute to maiser to maos chitin. In other words, the concept of mas now has taken a back seat, and what comes frontal stage is, and the primary essence of maos chitin today is tztaka. And again, we don't find in any kilos today, that at least that I know of, that it's a set sum like any other mas, and therefore it must be this minhag of tztaka, and tztaka can be given from maos meiser. And again, to summarize the two approaches of why Maos Chitin is special, is unique to Pesach, the Mishnah Berurah says on the one hand it has to do with the element of Cheirus, to guarantee that on an annual basis we can experience the joy of redemption. That obligates us to see to it that no one should go hungry and thirsty. Therefore, we have to give them the aniyim flour, what they require, the kemach, for kimcha de pischa, to be able to go through the entire Pesach with joy. And secondly, as we saw in the Mishnah Berurah, that because matzah has to replace the basic staple diet, namely of bread, because there's isur chametz, the aniyim might go hungry, and therefore we have to pay particular attention to the aniyim at this time of the year. But again, as we emphasize, according to the first explanation of the Mishnah Berurah, it's the special nature of Chag HaPesach, the special Simcha and Sipiyutis Mitzrayim and Cheirus, that requires this unique collection of tztaka money. According to the second explanation, it's really, really pure tztaka in the classical sense, just that it's the Pesach is the just the backdrop for this need, this pressing need to make sure that the aniyim will have what to eat, because otherwise the isur chametz blocks them from eating bread. And as we said, just to summarize, that this maos chitin today, as we saw in the Makor Chayim, means that even someone who normally would not qualify for receiving tztaka nevertheless qualifies for maos chitin. It's very understood in the light of what we said before, that we need to bring about a special feeling of simcha, of cheirus, of kvod shamayim, on behalf of every single Jew, and therefore it's not just enough to say, well, this Jew has enough resources for 14 meals in a week. We want him to benefit to such an extent that he experiences the same identical simcha that we experience. Now, would we have to guarantee that the aniyim have shmura matzah? This is a question that came up a little bit earlier. And with regard to Hilchas Chanukah, the Brura says that we're only required to see to it that the aniyim have ner ishu beso, that's the minimum of one candle. We don't have to guarantee them that they have mahadrin to light, holchin. Mahadrin of Sifim V'Holchim to make sure that the Aniyim are able to be Mahadur the Mitzvah, embellish the Mitzvah, and light several candles each day. But a lot of the Poskim say with regard to Maos Chitin, it's not so. If the Matzah, in this case the Shmura Matzah, that is produced from Chitim, that are guarded from the time of Ktzir itself, that's not considered a hidur. There are reasons, al pi halacha, and in terms of the chash chimutz, etc., that we require shimur mishas ktsira. And therefore, the aniyim eating shmura matzah being mekayim an old minog. It's a chumra that's together neder. It's not just some sort of embellishment and hidur of a mitzvah. So therefore, since the aniyim want the shmura matzah, we don't view this as like ner lechol echad v'echad or mosif aholech. We view this not as a hidur, but as something that is required. It's together neder. Those who have that minig to eat shmura matzah have to live up to that minog. And in terms of moschitin, the moschitin now, according to many, many poskim, and believe that if we get a chance, we'll see it inside, is mechayev us to give money for matzah shmura. Although the Bir Aloch in Tafresh Ayin Aleph quotes the Chemed Moshe that Ner Chanukah is enough to give him kiddin ner ishu beso, however, with regard to Mitzvah HaPesach, it's quite possible that the Mishnah Berurah himself would expand that mitzvah, because the Pischei Tshuva here in Siman Tav Chav Tes says that ani amedagdik b'mitzvahs lios min hamahadrin lechol matzah shmura, and he says kvar noy kein v'nasalo keneder v'noy kach b'shar minei zehirus b'shmiras hamatzahs v'afiyosan yesh l'sapik lo matzah shmura, says the Pischei Tshuva. Because of his acceptance of matzah shmura as the matzah, we should guarantee him that he should be able to fulfill that chumrah of matzah shmurah.